Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, once again we come before you and thank you for your majesty and your power and your dominion. We thank you for forgiveness of sin that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that someday we shall be with you in glory. We will have that perfect rest, perfect contentment, perfect peace. In fact, we know not what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like our blessed Savior. The Scripture tells us that when we awaken in His likeness, we shall be satisfied. We live in a world of chaos and turmoil. We live in a world of inequity. We live in a world of trials and afflictions. We live in a world of battling against sin, self, Satan, and the world. Nevertheless, we pray, our God, that you would bless us to live in such a way that it is honoring and pleasing unto you. That it might reflect the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That it might we might be an illumination of light in a dark world. Help us not to compromise with the things of the world. Help us to have hot hearts and hot souls for our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know the indifference of our minds so often. You know the lackadaisicalness that is upon us, sometimes the very slothfulness of wasting time and skills and talents that you have given us. But we thank you that we have a God that is worthy to be served. We thank you for the freedoms that we still have to be able to serve our blessed God and Savior and to meet in the capacity that we do this day. Now we pray that you would bless us as we continue in this worship, that indeed thy name would be exalted, and that our Lord and Savior would be honored and glorified and magnified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We go back to Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue studying through the book. And for those that may be following us on the internet, let me say that last Lord's Day afternoon message we failed to get because I failed to turn on the microphone. So anyway, I want to go back and kindly give a, I'm not going to re-preach that, but kindly give a brief review. We're looking at the passages in Ephesians 5, verses 7 through 13. And this is really a continuation of the verses that preceded that. It says, "Be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." And here we find that we're not to walk in darkness. And it says that that at one time, in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness," not that ye were in darkness, though we were, but that we were indeed darkness. And we find that our understanding was darkened, and that we are to remember that we are not to expect anything different from those today who do not know the Lord than what we have seen for many centuries. Many people claim to know the Lord, but the fact of their lives show forth that they still are walking in darkness. You remember the old saying that a person's feet speak so loudly, "I cannot hear what you say." It's one thing for a person to say something, it's another thing for someone to live what they really believe. And I also said that since we're seeing a new administration forming in our nation, regardless of campaign promises, mark the leaders that are picked to occupy the key positions that will direct our government, and you'll see how we will be governed. We've already seen some campaign promises saying that they're not going to go through with them. And so you have to realize that, first of all, no individual, no matter how dedicated he is able to keep all of his campaign promises. We have to realize and know that. You say, "Well, why do they make promises they can't keep to be elected?" That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. People in spiritual darkness, regardless of how intelligent they are naturally, or regardless of how kind and how much they may desire to do various things, if they are in darkness, if they're spiritually dead, they are incapable of making godly and wise decisions overall. We must remember that. That's not a put down. That's not trying to slander anybody. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. That if someone is still in spiritual darkness, they are incapable of making godly and wise decisions overall. They may make some here and there, but it's just a simple truth of the situation. And we, of all people who lived in darkness and God has opened our understanding and changed our wicked hearts and opened our blind eyes, we need to understand this more than anybody else, because this is how we were. We thought we were really smart, but we did not have the slightest clue as what was going on. as we see in Titus. I'll read this one scripture that we read last time, Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And that's what we were at one time. You say, well, I would never wash that away. Well, you probably still are. You just never have seen yourself. Because when God opens your heart, then you find that you are different than what you thought you were. But now we've come, and he says, back in Ephesians 5, verse 8, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We are to walk in the light of the Lord, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. As children of light, we are to be witnesses in this dark world in which we live. We are to be a witness and a guide to the light of God. That's what we're put here to do. Now, naturally, the supreme light is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is our light. Look in Isaiah 49. We'll look at a few passages here to show how that Christ is our light. Isaiah 49. Verse 6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore and preserve Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. We see here that he's speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel was to do that to some degree in their living upon this earth. But then he comes on down and verse 9, that thou mayest say to the prisoner, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. But here we find this is the Lord. And He is our shepherd. And He is the place where we live and delight in. In Isaiah chapter 60, we see some more passages along this from the Old Testament. Of course, we'll see a couple here in the New. But in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Gentiles shall come to the light of the Lord. Beloved, it is only because God has had mercy upon us and brought us unto Him that we might understand and see Him to some degree. And then as we go to the Gospel of John in our scripture reading, we find other passages that show that Christ is indeed the light. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 4, in Him was life, And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not, that is, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, and that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus Christ is our life and our light. John chapter 8, we see another. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he says plainly that whosoever is of light, whosoever is born of God, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. This is what the children of God are to be doing, and they shall be doing, really. And then one more in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth me should not abide in darkness. You see, God's children are people that have light, and they have an understanding. And not that they have it in such a holy way in themselves, but we find that Jesus Christ is ultimately the light, and He gives this life, the light unto His children. And Christ was not only the light when He came into the world the first time, not only was He the light of God in eternity, He shall be the light of God in the glory world when we shall see Him in the future. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. I guess I should have told you to keep your finger in Isaiah, but in back in Isaiah 60 again. Verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness. This is Isaiah 60 and 19. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And the sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. And then again in, another one in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, it talks about Christ being our light, even in the glory world. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We are to be lights in this world, and we are to be reflective of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that is given unto us. It is the Lord that has delivered us from darkness. It is not anything in ourselves that God has delivered us. God has delivered us from darkness. Again, we go back to Isaiah chapter 42 to show not only the promise of it in the Old Testament, but we'll see more in the New. But in Isaiah chapter 42, beginning at verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images, and so on. But notice we see the prophecy in the Old Testament of God calling us out of darkness, calling us into His marvelous light. Here we see this looking in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has shined in our hearts. And when He did that, He gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Of course, that light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. God illuminates His children. He brings them out of darkness. We see a hint of it back up in the chapter 3 and verse 18 of 2 Corinthians. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Notice, as we study the Word of God, and as we learn more about the things of God, it is just like that we are looking into this mirror, and as we continually follow in the Word of God, which is the mirror, the glass that we're looking into, We behold the glory of the Lord. And as we behold that glory, we are changed into the same image of the glory of the Lord. Why? Because we try to walk in His steps. You know, oftentimes, I believe I may have mentioned this last Lord's Day, oftentimes a child will be following in the path of his father, and someone come along and look at him and say, why, you're so-and-so's son. Just by the way you carry yourself, the way you conduct yourself, just like he did. We need to live in such a way that people can say to us that we are children of the living God. We are to be lights in this world. We're to let our light so shine that others may see, as our Lord said in Matthew. True believers are not in darkness. True believers are not in darkness. We need to realize that. We read that in John 12:46, where Jesus said that you're brought out of darkness. True believers are not in darkness. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now they were troubled somewhat about the second coming of the Lord. But this not only applies to the second coming of the Lord, it applies to life in general. I begin at the first verse, 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. When somebody tells me that they've got a time when the Lord's coming back, I know that they are liars. Why do I know that? Because the children of God know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Comes unannounced. For when they, that is those that are in darkness, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But notice the contrast. But ye, this is not a but God, but this is a but ye. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, and so on. But notice what he says. You're not in darkness. The children of God are not in darkness. We know things that the world does not know. And you can't explain it to them because they're in darkness. The only way that you can basically show, sometimes you're able to say a few things. The best part is just your life. Let them see that there's something different about you than about them. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 to show that we're not in darkness. 1 John chapter 2. Beginning at verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness because knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes. You see, God's children are not filled with malice and hatred. God's children are walking in the light. They're different. And since we are of the light, as Paul tells and encourages the Ephesian saints in this letter, he says, "For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. This is what God has put us here to do. Not only are we light, but we're to walk as children of light. As the chapter opens, that is for Ephesians 5, talks about it in verse 2 that we're to walk in love. We're to walk in love. God called Israel to walk in the light. God called Israel to walk in the light. Isaiah chapter 2, where it calls them to walk in the light. Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. But notice what he said as far back as in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. A lot of people are not aware of this. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. God told the children of Israel, I have given you this law, and you are to keep this law and to live in it, that the nations round about may see it, and that they might know these things. We, as God's children, are live in such a way that the people with whom we come in contact do know that we are living in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We are children of God. We are the children of light in this world. We are to know things and look at things from a standpoint of wisdom, because we look at things according to the Word of God. Someone would say, well, why do you believe what you believe? Let's just take whatever it is. Someone might ask you, why do you live like you do? Well, God commands us to live in such a way that we're not to go into debt. We're to live within our means. We're not to be frugal, but we're not to be covetous. We're to live in such a way that we are not involved in the wicked practices of the world. We don't associate ourselves with them. We don't watch what the world watches. We don't attend to the things that they attend to. We dress differently than the world. I guarantee you, when you do not dress according to the world standard, people are going to take notice. They're going to watch you and they're going to look at you. This was several months ago. I don't remember how long ago. It might even be a year ago now. I don't know. But I saw a woman and her daughter in a store. I think it was in Walmart, I'm not sure. But I could tell that first of all, they were dressed modestly and quite becoming in the way that they were dressed. They didn't look like somebody had a toe sack on them either, but yet they were dressed modestly and in every way, and just looked like there was difference in their countenance. And so I stopped them and told them that I appreciated their dress. Their whole countenance, both of them, they just looked at each other and just looked like they lit up. Because they stood out. They stood out in the midst of that whole store as someone that looked godly. And it was just quite obvious. You didn't have to look for it. They stood out like a shining light to the glory of God. And we, as our Lord said, are to let our light so shine that others may see and glorify God. You see, if they were dressing that way to get someone to compliment them, well, first of all, if they were dressed the way they were dressed, most people would even be complimenting them. They were quite attractive ladies, but at the same time, they were not dressed in any way to bring any attention to their body. Most people dress in such a way they want people to look at them. But if they were doing that to get someone to compliment them, it was all wasted. You may never be complimented for what you do, but it glorifies God. The beautiful flower in the desert that no one ever sees honors and glorifies God just as much as if the whole world had seen it. Because that beautiful flower is giving glory to God. And if we are living as we ought, we're to do it in such a way that we want to give glory to God. Not the idea that we want to bring praise and adoration on ourselves. Though it is encouraging when some gives that, and we want to be thankful for it. I don't go around preaching at work. I don't know how many people know that I am a minister. I don't know how many people know that I am not a minister. But I've had many people to come up to me to say something to the fact that of my lifestyle. And one woman told me one time, which quite surprised me, they were having some kind of a program on trying to get everybody to go into losing weight or something. And of course they had to give what their weight was and everything, and this woman was somewhat hefty. And she said, "I don't want anybody knowing what all I weigh." Said, "I wouldn't be afraid to tell you because I know you keep it secret." And so, you know, I took that as a compliment. And I've had people say other things that are complimentary from time to time as to my lifestyle. But I'm not doing it for that. I pray I'm not anyway. I don't think I am. But we're to walk. We're to walk as children of light. We're to live as God gave the word to Israel of old. They were to live in such a way that the whole nations would know what kind of people they were. I had a man tell me recently. He said, "I know I'm not what I ought to be." That I don't even know that I could even call myself a Christian. In reality, I'd like to be, and so on. But he's in close contact with a person that's somewhat a friend, possibly, that claims to be a strong Christian. And he was condemning the Sodomites for their sins. And this man told him, said, "Why are you so hard on them?" He said, "Because they're filthy, they're wicked." He said, "It's sinful." He said, "Well, you sleep around on with people. He said, "That's sinful too, isn't it? What right do you have to condemn them?" And he's all the time taking God's name in vain. And this individual said, "I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not going to profess to be a Christian and live like that." And there are many that do that. And that's what's wrong. So-called Christianity as it is today. I'm amazed at how many cars that pass me with so-called Christian symbols on them speeding excessively. What's that telling the world? I'm not going to say that I don't speed. I don't have stickers all over my cars either. But anyway, I just don't like them. But that's neither here nor there. That's the reason they have Fords and Chevrolets. Different people have different things. But my point is, we are to live as lights of God. We're to live in such a way that it is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just like God called Israel to be lights into the world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I remind you that that word praises means excellencies, which in time past were not a people. That's what we Gentiles were. But are now the people of God, which hath obtained mercy, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall glorify God, in the day of visitation. You see, even if you are living in the good works that God would have you to do, and they scorn you and speak evil against you, it's going to glorify God when Christ returns in the day of visitation. You may not get the glory now, but God is not quick to forget your labor of love which you do in His name. And these wicked individuals that make fun of Christianity and want to put it down, it may look like that they're winning, but someday they're going to have to pay the price. Because it said, we already covered that, it said, let no man deceive you, that for such shall experience the wrath of God. Well, let us live in such a way that we don't prove ourselves to be the hypocrites. You know, nobody likes a hypocrite. Even the world doesn't like a hypocrite. And yet some of them that are so vocal against hypocrisy are some of the worst hypocrites themselves, if they could just really see themselves for what they are. But you know why they can't? Because they're in darkness. Just like we were at one time. We could run anybody down and run them down and not even realize that I'm no better. Yes, we are too. We are called out of darkness into the marvelous light of God, that we should show forth the praises of Him, the excellencies of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are to prove what is acceptable to God. Think about that. You say, well, how are we going to prove what's acceptable to God? How's that possible? Well, this word for prove means to test. Put something to the test to show that it is real. You see, you're not trying to put something to the test to prove it to be wrong. You know, some teachers, particularly in college, it seems like that they give tests in order to just see how many people they can fail. I had a class in economics in college. We had 3 tests for the whole year. The first test was 50 points. The second test was 100 points, and the final was 150. And that's it. Whatever you made on those, that was it. And they sure weren't easy. In fact, my grade wasn't too good before I got ready to take the final, and I went to see the professor. And he did make it known that he curved the grade some. And I had to have a certain amount of points. And if I had a certain amount of points, I'd get a D out of the course. And I said, well, if I get those amount of points, I said, would I possibly get a C? He said, you can't make that many points on my test. I would have, if he hadn't counted too much off on one. I worked one problem. It took about a whole page to do it and everything. Had it all down. And all I had, everything was worked perfectly until the last step. I had to transpose the number across the equal sign to make it a positive number instead of a negative number. And that was the only thing wrong, and he counted 25 points off for that. When I went back to see him after the test and told him what and talked to him about it, all he did was gave me just a silly grin. Nobody liked him. I didn't care for him. But anyway, that was many moons ago. But this Greek word for prove means to try to make sure and show that it is genuine, in other words. Let's look at how this word is used a little bit. Maybe it'll help us to understand how it's used here. Luke chapter 12. Verse 56. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, and how it is that ye do not discern this time. The word there is discern. This is the word that where we're to prove the things that are of God. Prove that which is acceptable. He tells these hypocrites, you can look at the sky, you can see that if it's red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor delight. That's what it says here. So, well, it doesn't use those words. No, but it says that if it's, notice what it says in verse, well, it doesn't say it, show it here, but in Matthew it talks about it when it talks about when it's the sky is red in the morning, that foul weather is supposed to be here and so on. I won't take time to look it up in Matthew. You can look it up yourself if you're really that interested. In the 14th chapter of Luke, verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. I'm going to go try out these oxen, see what they're made of. Romans 1. You see, sometimes there's a word that's used in various ways. Kind of helps us to hone in on it. Romans 1, verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word there is like. Like. In other words, they didn't want to give an objective reasoning of the truth of the existence of God. They didn't want to prove it. They didn't want the proof. You tell people, give them some just natural things about God and creation. The evolutionists don't want that. They don't want to give way to that which is true. Romans chapter 2, excuse me, chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, there it is, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to have the facts as to what it is that God would have us to do. And we are to walk in them. In the 14th chapter of Romans, verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself. Talking about eating of meat or drinking wine and so on. In other words, don't do it in public. Have it to yourself. Have it at home. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. There's the word for prove. There's many others. We do not have time to get through all of them. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. It's used 23 times, but we won't look at all of them. Galatians 6, verse 4. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, we're to live in such a way, and our lifestyle is to be a proof, clear as to what we are. Well, we'll just leave it at that. I've got several others here. But you get the idea. He says here in Ephesians, with regard to us not living like the world, but that we're to walk as children of light. For ye, I'm going to leave out the parenthetical expression. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We're to prove what God really accepts. We're not to be living in such a way that, well, I think this is what He would have me to do. With clarity, we have proven this. But how have we proven it? Because that's clearly what the Scriptures teach. And that we're to live according to that. We'll look at this word acceptable this afternoon. If I try to look at it now, we'll run too much over. But we're to walk as children of light. We're to walk in such a way that it proves clearly what it is or how it is that a child of God is to live. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank You for Your word. Bless it to our hearts and souls. And cause us to love You and to walk in such a way that is pleasing unto You, not only in the public, but even when we are in the recesses of our own home and no one sees, that we may honor and glorify Thy holy name. In Christ we pray. Amen.